Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey friends, welcome to Connecting Faith. It is the last day of the year. So today is December the 31st, 2018. I am Carmen LaBerge, your host. I hope you have had a blessed year, and I hope that you can count your blessings of the year, which is now past. What we're going to do today on Connecting Faith is a little bit different than what we ordinarily do. So we're going to spend the first portion of the show today doing what I do every year on the last day of the year, and that is what I call the year-end spiritual inventory. I know that doesn't sound like much fun, but it's, I think, a really healthy spiritual process for those who are interested in actually, like, accounting for the year which has now passed, and how, as Christian disciples, we either have or have not given it unto the Lord, rendered it unto him as a year of the Lord. And then in the second half of the show, we'll literally turn the page and we'll think about and we'll press ourselves into a plan, an actual plan for cultivating righteousness in our lives in the year which now lies ahead. Because if you don't have a plan, then I can assure you, you're not going to make progress toward a spiritual goal. And so we're going to talk here in the first half of the program, looking back at 2018, and in the second half of the program, looking ahead to 2019 and actually getting a plan together. So at this time next year, when we're doing our year-end spiritual inventory, we'll just be really confident about our fruit production. We're going to have a harvest of righteousness to count next year, even if this year we feel like, ooh, yeah, my my harvest is a little lacking. Okay, so let's jump in. In order to do this inventory, the spiritual inventory here at year end, you're going to need a few things. You're going to need to collect together your 2018 calendar, a check register. I realize that's kind of an antiquated way of saying it. So my way now of doing it is I actually just like print out my online statement from the bank, which actually does chronicle to whom I wrote checks. Sometimes I also have to go and print out my year-end statements from my credit cards, because I do have some giving that is set up that happens on a regular basis through my credit cards. And so you may need all of those things. We used to be able to use the check register, but times have changed. And so in addition to your calendar for 2018 and your check register, however it is you think about that, wherever it is that all of those things are, you know, listed. Then also grab your journal. If you are a person who keeps a journal for the year, that is great. If you're not, you know, you're going to need to go and grab that like box where you've been like stashing all your sermon notes all year, because we're going to take a look back at some of the things that God has shared with us from his word in the year past. I also, in order to do this, have my Bible with me. And by the way, this exercise, if you're really going to do it and you're going to commit to doing it well, it's going to take a while. So I'm just going to warn you about that in advance. This is a process that ordinarily, I mean, I've gotten a little faster over the years as I've gotten a little more organized in doing it. But I can tell you that this is actually something that I generally commit several hours to on the last day of the year as an act of time with the Lord and an act of obedience to actually like account for the time that he gave me in the year past and what I did with it. So there you go. Just recognizing this is not, we're going to go through it quickly here during Connecting Faith today, but it's not, that would be like the speed drill version. So I'm just going to tell you what's included. I'm not going to actually be doing it with you here on the air. Cause it just wouldn't be possible. Okay. So, I grab my Bible and I go through it, and, I really consider which books of the Bible did I actually read in the past year, in 2018? Which ones did I actually study? Because there's a difference in just, you know, having a book that I've read through according to a reading plan and a book which I have actually spent some time studying. I then, because I have one that I confess I did not complete, what was my reading plan at the beginning of the year? How far did I get? I evaluate this every year. So, you know, Genesis is like thoroughly read. I have read it and I have read it and I have read it. every year, my reading plan falls somewhere short of the comprehensive text of the scriptures. I will be committing again in the second half of today's program and in my 2019 plan. I'll be committing to a reading plan again. This is just, you know, confessional. I did not get through the entire Bible in 2018. There are some books that I read cover to cover. There are some books that I studied, but not all of them. And so I always take note of when I stopped reading, like in the reading plan. When did I stop? So, and in some cases I restart, like, right, I jump back in. But I just confess, I never actually finish the plan. So I might have to rethink how I'm doing that and come up with a better plan. I review my sermon notes and the Bible study notes that I have for the year past, and I consider under whose teaching and counsel I sat. And so I spend time praying for those people whom God has used in the year past to really sow the seed of his word into my life. I mean, I give thanks to God for those Bible teachers and those preachers. I actually try to, you know, account for what God taught me, and then how it is that I cooperated with the Holy Spirit in allowing God to change my life as the Bible was actually applied to it. Because if I can't show you places and points where the Word of God as brought to bear on my life then changed me, I probably was not as pliable as I ought to have been. I look through and note retreats and spiritual conferences and spiritual formation groups that I attended, Christian podcasts and programs that I took in, and then I consider, were these ministries that I actually financially supported, and if I'm in a position to do so at year end, I make year end gifts to some of those ministries that, have really equipped me to do what I do every day. I then move from there to my calendar, and I actually start simply by surveying the year that has passed. What did I do? Where did I go? How did I invest one of the most precious gifts that God gave me, which is the gift of time? And then I start doing some actual accounting. There's a couple of actual like lists I make. I count up the actual Sabbath days I took with the Lord, actual times of retreating for a number of hours, where I just intentionally spent time with God. I also count up the Sundays that I was not in worship. And I do that. I suppose there are some people who could count up the Sundays that they were in worship. For me, I'm in worship almost every Sunday. And so I count up the Sundays that I am not in worship with God's people at an identifiable church. And I really seriously consider why. Why was I not with God's people in worship, in church on those Sundays? Because I want to hold myself accountable for that time. I then look at the holidays and I consider which ones I actually set apart as holy unto the Lord and where there might be some room for improvement in that area next year. Ways and days that I spent serving as a conduit of God's grace in the lives of others through mission and service. And then I try to remember when these things happen. I try to remember to jot them down. So at the end of the year, I can actually look back and I can recall, hey, that was a day that God set a divine appointment that I had no idea was going to happen. Something that was clearly not on my calendar, a person clearly not on my radar, but something that God fully intended to have happen, an encounter he intended me to have. And either a person who drew me closer to God, or a person who was drawn closer to God because of their encounter with me. I try to make note of those divine appointments. I then turn to my check register, and I start with the stuff that, again, that we don't really see because it happens automatically. So this is where, you know, you may have to pull up your PayPal account. You may have to pull up your credit cards. Like, what is already set up to auto pay on all of my accounts and my cards and maybe even on my phone? And the reason that I do that is I actually want to be intentionally giving. I want to be praying for the ministries that I'm supporting. I want to be engaged beyond just a financial contribution. And then I want to consider, is that a ministry that I should be engaged in terms of ongoing support? Are they advancing the kingdom in ways that resonate with what I feel God's calling me to do? Are there some ministries to which I made a one-time gift that maybe I should consider committing to with ongoing support? Like, those are some of the conversations that I have with myself when I have both, it's like all of this financial material out at the end of the year. I also do a very like honest accounting of my tithe. And that is, you know, sort of a calendar conversation, the tithe of time, but it's also a checkbook conversation because it's an accounting for my tithe to the Lord, gifts, tithes, and offerings, all important to take note of on the last day of the year, because until, you know, the stroke of midnight, you can still go online and give to many of those ministries and probably even to your local church. If, as you account for these things on the 31st, you say to yourself, you know what, I have fallen short and I need to make good on that. I need to give God his tithe. All right, friends, let me take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation about a year-end spiritual inventory, and in the bottom half of the program, we'll turn our attention to charting a course for spiritual growth in 2019. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and you're listening to Connecting Faith.
My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living.
Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. We are talking today at this on this last day of the year about, as Christians, our year-end spiritual inventory. I'm hoping that you are a person who maybe in the past has taken a spiritual inventory and that you are a person who cares about accounting before the Lord for the year that is now past. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like to actually chart a course for spiritual growth in 2019 in the bottom half of today's program. So we have already reviewed our Bible, our calendar, our check register in relationship to the year that is now past. And so I want us to turn together to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. This is like really familiar terrain, but we're doing this for a reason, and it's so that we can make what I like to call a fruit inspection. And so let's read and reflect upon Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so let's do a little fruit inspection. This is a part of my year, my little personal year-end spiritual inventory. And I actually like try to consider what kind of harvest of righteousness did God get from my life in 2018? If the fruit of the Spirit is love, what did the harvest of love look like in my life? Was it a more abundant harvest than in years past? How about joy? Did I produce an abundance of joy in 2018 as fruit now rendered unto the Lord? How about peace? I have a lot of conversations actually with people about their desperate need for peace, their desire for peace. Peace is a gift. It comes with the gift of the Spirit. And it's also a fruit. So my life, because it is full of the Spirit, should also be full of peace. I should be a peaceful person because the Prince of Peace and the peace which passes all understanding are actually what I'm abiding in Christ Jesus. Patience, I'll just go ahead and say, patience is a fruit of the Spirit that God has been cultivating in my life. And he's not done with me yet. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Each one of these, I intentionally spend some time examining in my year-end spiritual inventory, and I encourage you to do the same. I compare the harvest of righteousness in my life in 2018 to prior years. Is there evidence that I'm growing in grace? Is there evidence of like production in righteousness? And then I consider, you know, what pruning might be needed in order that greater growth might occur next year. What do I need to prune? What do I need to allow God to prune? What might I need to ask others to prune in order that I can be a more faithful, fertile, productive branch of the vine of Jesus Christ? Some of this just takes us to the question of abiding. Am I actually abiding in Christ in such a way that he can flow through me as a branch connected to him who is the vine? Like, you know, that's part of this conversation, is the conversation about abiding. I then turn to my journal. Now, the journal should have a start page with a heading something like God's return on investment in my life in 2018. And if you do this year over year, then you already have a journal that says this from last year. So, and you've been chronicling because you've been taking note of these things each month. What was God's return on investment in my life in a particular month? And you certainly did it quarterly, because that is going to be part of our plan as we chart a course for spiritual growth in the year ahead. So we're going to actually, you know, if we've been doing this year over year, then in our journal, we already have a page, actually several pages probably, if yours is like mine, where we're talking about God's return on investment in our life. And so for me, there's a page for each month. And then after January, February, March, there's the first quarterly report of God's return on investment in my life. And then after the month of June, there's a second quarter report, on and on. So you sort of get the idea here. And in those monthly reports, and then in those quarterly reports, what I have chronicled in my journal are the spiritual resources that I recognize God has poured into my life and made available to me in those months or in those quarters. And then evidence of that which was returned to God for his use. And so I pray over, you know, how is it that God has received a return on the investment of his Holy Spirit dwelling within me? What kind of return did God receive on the word, his word, planted in my heart, available to me in ways that, you know, other generations of people have not had access to God's word? The return that God received over the past year from the investment of his son in my life, or the return that God received from the investment of the fellowship of his people, where he puts me as a part of a local church. The ongoing provision of his grace and love. I mean, you know, when you start thinking about all of the ways in which God has invested in us and what God has invested in us, and we start thinking about what kind of return God is getting on those investments, that's a little bit of what this year-end spiritual inventory includes. The other thing that I try to do when I look back over the course of the year is identify a verse or a story or a character in the Bible who, if I'm really honest, like that was my life verse for the past year. If there was a life verse in that, you know, that said get her done, there have been some years when, you know, that would have been the life verse, but there's actually not a verse of the Bible that says that. So sometimes I have to pick a character. Sometimes I recognize that my storyline for a particular year was that, you know, I was like Jonah, a reluctant prophet, or I was like John the Baptist. I was zealous for the Lord, but I was regarded as grossly eccentric and weird by the people of my day. There have been some years where, you know, I look back and I'm like, I feel like it was my year of the leper, or it was my year of the blind beggar, or it was my year of the wounded traveler, or it was my year to be the Good Samaritan, or gosh, as I look back, man, I was such a Pharisee. And I hope this is not true of anybody, but you know, there are some times when we look back and we're like, I was one of the scoffers. or I was just a crowd. I was just going along with the crowd, or I was a fair weather friend of Jesus. And then I acknowledge that there are years in which, I was zealously committed to the Lord and the advancement of his kingdom purposes, always and in all ways. I was genuinely on the gospel advance team. And so that's part of my encouragement. Like if you were to honestly look back at 2018, what stands out to you? It could be a moment. It could be a season. It could be a conversation. It could be an action that you took and recall, something that really marks 2018 as a year of the Lord. I usually try to go back and find one of those. And oftentimes it's an individual whose life has been significantly impacted through, life on life discipleship, an opportunity that God gave me to pour the word into the life of another person or walk alongside them in a particular season of challenge or difficulty, and then actually get to witness like the aha moment of genuine transformation. Those are pretty extraordinary, and I think that we need to be faithful to count ourselves blessed when they happen. So again, this is a process that takes a few hours. It's a year-end spiritual inventory for those of us who are Christians. It's a slow, sober look through our Bible, our calendar, our check register. And again, I'm using that, sort of a broad term, and our journal. And then it's actually like an accounting of God's return on the investment that he's made in us through all of the spiritual resources that he makes available to us as his people in this generation. Certainly the gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of his Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the gift of his ongoing pursuit of us through grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. And then, the notion that grace is also my teacher and my instructor, all of those spiritual investments, the spiritual blessings that God pours into our lives, how is it that God has gotten a return on those investments through my life in the year which is now past? So I'm hoping that 2018, at this year end, as you make your spiritual inventory, you're able to say, God got his tithe, not just of my money, but God got his tithe of my time, and God got all of me in terms of my commitment to live a gospel-centered, gospel-advancing life, with the gospel at the forefront of my thoughts and mind, more and more conformed to Christ each and every day, not only by the illumination of the Spirit, but by my moment-by-moment cooperation with the Spirit, bringing me into greater conformity with who Christ is. Like, that's what I hope we can look back and see at the end of 2018. All right, friends, I got to take another quick break. When we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to actually turn the page to 2019, and we're going to begin charting a course for spiritual growth in the year which now lies ahead. You are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, and we'll be right back. Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Okay, we are now having done our spiritual inventory at the end of 2018. We're now literally going to turn the page, and we're going to chart a course for spiritual growth in the year ahead. So I'm going to encourage you to gather again a few items together. You're going to need a new 2019 calendar. You're going to need a fresh journal. I recommend a new check register. Although I know people are now like snickering that I even still have a check register and that I use one, but I like to have something tangible to look back at. It's particularly when I'm thinking about the ways in which I'm spending the resources that God has placed me as a steward over, and then how I have used those. So I do keep a check register, an actual like physical one, in which I write down my giving to the church and my giving to other ministries So if you want to start doing that in this new year, that's a good thing to do. You probably get a check register in every box of checks, and now you're laughing that maybe some of you don't even have a box of checks. But anyway, it is a thing. You can do it in any little notebook. Okay, so 2019 calendar, a blank journal, something that functions as a check register, your Bible, and here I will note, a pen with indelible ink. Because we're going to really make some commitments as we chart this course for spiritual growth in 2019. This isn't, you know, like casual, erasable, let me sort of commit to this in pencil. At some point, you and I have to get serious about our own spiritual growth and not just hope that if we show up to church somehow miraculously, like there's like some miracle grow out there. There's no miracle grow. I mean, growth is a miracle. God alone gives the growth. I suppose that is miracle grow in the Christian life. But there's no way for you to just go and sit and soak and not be actively committed to the cultivation of your own spiritual life and just expect to miraculously produce an ever greater harvest of righteousness. That just doesn't happen. There's actually an intentionality to discipleship. And so you are patterning your life after the life of Christ. And so knowing more and more who he is and finding reliable spiritual mentors who you're going to pal around with and who after whom you are going to pattern your thinking. That is how we are going to each and all more thoroughly cultivate the mind of Christ on the matters of the day. And we're going to practice. We're going to practice what has been preached. You might not be preaching, but you are communicating every single day as a representative of Jesus Christ in the world. I mean, my mom used to say, I mean, my mom's still living, but she doesn't say this to me anymore because she knows that I've like fully integrated this into the way I think. She used to say as we headed out the door, hey, remember, you may be the only Bible somebody else reads today, which is like both this really like convicting truth and an astonishing like reality, right? Okay. Do you have a line that you send your kids out with every day? Maybe that's the that's a little sideline conversation that you and I could be having in 2019. What is your, you know, what's your send off going to be to your kid every day? Every time you drop them off, every time they walk out the door, what are you going to say to them? What sort of statement of affirmation of godliness, of purity, of encouragement, of joy? What are we going to send them off with every single day? I mean, our family lives might be radically changed if we simply change the script of what is the last thing we leave our kids with intentionally every single time. Maybe that's a subject we could, I don't know, find some clever person to talk with us about here on Connecting Faith in the days ahead. Okay, so we've got our brand new 2019 calendar. We've got a blank journal. We've got, in my case, a new check register where I'm going to make my commitments and plan out my giving as best I can. I've got my Bible and I've got a pen with indelible ink. My process of charting a course for spiritual growth in the year ahead begins with really seeking to identify either a word or a verse of scripture that I'm going to intentionally sort of have in front of me for the entire year. So for 2018, I had a word. My word was or has been sophronos. And it's this idea of a righteous mind, right thinking. Because I think that it is out of right thinking that right living is produced. And so if I want to be walking by faith, then I have to be a person whose mind is set on Christ. And so it's a mindset word, and it is a righteous mind word. So anyway, my word has been sophronos. There's actually several passages of scripture where that word is used. And so if I had, you know, said, oh, I've got a verse that's related to that, then that would have been the verse that I would have highlighted here. I think that in this next year, I'm actually going to select a verse. And I'm not going to call it my life verse because I have a life verse. My life verse is Galatians 2:20. But this might be my year verse. This might be my verse for the year. And in the same way that in 2018, I wrote the word sophronos on the front of my journal, and I wrote the word sophronos in that white blank space that appears before the number days on each month of the calendar. So last year, you know, January, February, March, April, May, blah, blah, blah. Each one of those, when I turn the page to the new month, the word that greets me at the beginning of that calendar month is Sophronos. And so I have the opportunity to newly commit every month to this pattern of thinking, to focus on this verse or this word. I would also encourage you, go ahead, you know, after you have selected your word or your verse, go ahead and write it on a sticky note and put it on your bathroom mirror. You know, I put another one, I write it on a recipe card because I have lots of those. I write it on a recipe card and I slide it under the visor of my car, in part so that it will fall out every time I flip the visor, but, you know, also in part so that I have to, like, see it and touch it and be reminded of it and have it in front of me. So wherever those places are, I mean, this is sort of in the spirit of God telling the Israelites, you know, to write the law on their doorpost, right? I mean, if you're putting it right there in front of you, if you're binding it to the hair on the side of your head, if you're putting it on your forehead, right? I mean, you have it in front of you was the point. It wasn't the actual act of writing it down and putting it in a little box and tying it on your hair. The point was have it in front of you. Have it be what is in front of you all the time. And so what word of the Lord are you going to seek to live into in 2019? What verse of scripture, what particular calling, what word? And it could be one of those fruits that we just discussed. It could be that, you know, your word for the year needs to be love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or faithfulness or self-control. I mean, right? I mean, it could be one of those words. I know a lot of folks who pick a verse of scripture. I have a friend who she's already texted me that her verse for the year that she is going to live into in 2019 is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's see. Have I got another one here from another friend? I asked my friends to let me know what they were looking at in terms of their... Okay, here we go. I have another friend who... Now I'm looking at my emails for... who answered this question. So here's one. Psalm 37:23. This friend is going to have this as their verse that they're going to live into in 2019. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So you can see how that is not a particularly directive verse of scripture. I have in the past used a verse from Psalm 119, verse 133, which reads, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." There's another translation of that that says, "Entangle me." Like, I don't want to be entangled by sin. I want God to be directing my footsteps according to his word. I know there, I'm thinking back over like the ones that I've used in the past. I've certainly used Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, more than once. In fact, I would say it's sort of the theme verse of the exercise of charting a course and doing all of this. And it's whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's a compelling verse. If you're looking for a verse to focus on in the coming year and, you know, and you're having trouble finding one or identifying one, Colossians 3:17 is, I think, good year in and year out. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's certainly a verse that would keep us each and all intentionally, quite intentionally focused on the things of the Lord in the year ahead. So as you make your plans for the year, I actually encourage you to consider making a plan for monthly, weekly, and daily exercises in discipleship. I have to be that intentional about it, or otherwise I will go a week without doing anything, like without doing anything intentional that discipleship oriented. And you're saying, you got to be kidding me. This is like practically your job. Yes, it's practically my job, but it's not my job to grow as a disciple. And so I have to have a Bible reading plan. I have to have a real plan for Sabbath time every week, every month, and in every season of the year. I have to actually plan, you know, to be sure that not only am I participating in the worship of a worshiping community at church, but that I am finding, carving out, making intentional time for personal and family worship. I have to plan for genuine times of retreat and holy days. Otherwise, those days will not be holy and set apart as unto the Lord. They will be quite unholy. Just ask my family how kind of crazy I get. And holidays can end up not feeling very holy for other people if I'm all spun up and spun out. And again, this is not about vacation or recreation. Those are times you've got to plan out as well. But those are actually not your Sabbath times. Those are not your retreat times with the Lord. We have to plan for real Christian fellowship with other believers who sharpen us and hold us to account. You got to plan when and where you're going to invest yourself in Christian service. And you got to pray that the Lord would make you aware of the divine appointments that he has already set and leave enough bandwidth and room in your calendar in order, for those things that are unexpected to us, but on God's agenda can still be accomplished. Okay, friends, I'm going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about actually some goals that we're going to set and some expectations we can have of ourselves, and then how we are going to actually cultivate the soil of our lives to ensure a harvest of righteousness at the end of next year. You are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and we'll be right back. Okay, friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith on this final day of 2018. Thank you so much for joining me here. So we have tilled a lot of soil together, and so I think that, you know, in this last segment of the show today, what I really want to do is get really, really specific, and give you some really tangible ideas for how to cultivate the soil of your life as you seek to, you know, chart a course for real spiritual growth in the year ahead, which will produce a harvest of righteousness. And I'm not to say that this is like formulaic. I'm not saying, oh, if you do these things, I will guarantee you spiritual fruit production at this. No, I mean, God gives the growth. Like, that is how this works. God gives the growth. I can't promise for sure. But you and I, we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We can do the things that we know contribute to spiritual growth, as opposed to those things which we know contribute to a life that is contrary to spiritual growth. Like, we know the difference. I mean, don't act like we don't know. Okay. So I like to have a goal. I like to have a goal. I'd say I'm kind of goal oriented, but I'm really, the truth of the matter is I'm deadline driven. And so when I say a goal, I am normally talking about a specific target on a specific day something that I can tangibly say this was accomplished in this amount of time. And these were the resources that it took to get there. And I mean, that's the way I'm built and wired. So I would say that no matter what you are planning on doing, no matter what you are planning on sort of setting as your spiritual goals for the year ahead, keep in mind, keep in mind that what I am really called to, is to do, but to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be moment by moment an obedient, faithful, pliable cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Christ is going to lead me into a life that's worthy of bearing his name if I am moment by moment cooperating in obedience with the Holy Spirit. That's pretty much what I'm called to do, because that is who I'm called to be. So as you think about, if I were going to set a goal, Carmen, what might that look like? If I were going to have a passage of scripture that was sort of going to be my, you know, what I'm aiming for. Okay, what would that be? Well, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, which says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Some of you are saying, oh God, please let her have something else. Because that does not stimulate me to to want to jump in there, right? So, all right, so try this one on for size. Maybe you like this one better. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that God might make you worthy of his calling, that by his power he might bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is my favorite one. When I consider like setting something in front of myself for the year which lies ahead, I love this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And I love that that Paul is praying this for the Christians in Thessalonica. Maybe we could pray this for one another. I could pray for you that God would make you worthy of his calling, and you could pray the same for me. Would you do that? Would you pray for me that God would make me worthy of his calling, that by his power he might bring to fruition every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith? I mean, how great a year would we have if we were praying this for one another and God were conspiring with us to make it happen? We pray this so that, and again, it's not to anyone, it's not to no person's glory that we do any of this. It's all to the glory of Christ. We pray this so that the name of Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I lift that passage up to you. Okay, and here are some expectations to have of ourselves in the year ahead. Expect of yourself to actively and intentionally seek to have the mind of Christ in all things. Seek to manifest the Spirit of Christ in all situations. Seek to demonstrate the manner of Christ in every moment. Seek to advance the kingdom of Christ in all that I say and do, and in the way that I say it and do it, in order that I might, as this passage suggests, right, bring glory to Jesus. I might live in front of other people in such a way, not that they would see my good works, but that they would actually turn to glorify God who is in heaven. Okay, in order to realize these expectations, in order to actually advance on this front of cultivating the mind of Christ, if I'm going to seek to have the mind of Christ in all things, I'm going to have an actual plan and how to do that. So, as instructed in Luke 22 and Colossians 3, I am going to set my mind on the agenda of the Father. I'm going to set my mind on things that are above. As encouraged in Romans 12, I'm going to cultivate a mind through a biblical worldview. I'm going to give vigilant attention to what's on my mind, as instructed in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. How would I then turn to like the question of, okay, I'm going to have this expectation of living out all of this in the manner of Christ? Well, I'm going to have to become a person of prayer and humble service. Like, in order to honor God, I'm going to have to humble myself and serve selflessly. I mean, that would be the Philippians chapter 2 model. I'm going to have to make prayer my practice and my discipline. I'm going to have to pray with confidence and belief. I'm going to have to pray with thanksgiving and in song. I'm going to have to pray before meals. I'm going to have to pray submissively and ardently and without ceasing. And each one of those has a scripture attached to it, which you can go to the Connecting Faith page at reconnectwithcarmen.com. That's not right. I said that wrong. You can go to the Connecting Faith page at myfaithradio.com, and you can actually get this for yourself. I'll just post it on my own website too, and then my misspeaking won't be inaccurate. It'll be both places. Because I really do want us to be doing this and to be doing it together. So let's talk about a moment about what it looks like to cultivate the Spirit of Christ. So to cultivate the Spirit of Christ is not just to have the mind of Christ on the matters of the day, and it's not even just to live in the manner of Christ always and in all ways. It's actually to follow the mandate that we would be holy and we would bear good fruit. So let's be reminded of the passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, which reads, "With minds that are alert and fully sober, So that would be the mind of Christ conversation that we just had. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, that's going to be our manner. It's going to be the manner in which we approach these things. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. It is written, be holy because I am holy. So when we talk about cultivating the Spirit of Christ, we're talking about the cultivation of holiness. And when we talk about holiness, we are certainly not talking about worldliness. We are talking about something that, frankly, the world doesn't even quite understand. And so part of my encouragement is that not only would we be focused on bearing good fruit, which obviously you know that next year on the last day of the year, I'm going to encourage a fruit inspection again. You know, like what does my harvest of righteousness look like in terms of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control? I'm also going to ask for sort of like a holiness meter, right? And you and I are, it's really hard for us to judge that because it's our judging ourselves against the perfection and holiness of Christ, which obviously we're never going to measure up to. But we should be closer by degrees next year this time than we are now, because we are going to actively cooperate with the Holy Spirit at work within us to bring us into ever greater conformity with who Christ is. And so that should mean that by this time next year, we are actually somehow able to say, you know what? I am more holy. I am more holy. I'm living a more holy life. We also need to hone our witness to Christ. It's his name and his reputation that are at stake when we are out there calling ourselves Christians and then not acting like Christ would. We have to remember that we are a signpost. We are always pointing to Christ, that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God in the world that he so loves, that we are witnesses, that we are bearing testimony to who Christ is in a world that's literally dying to know him. So again, I think that maybe as a summary verse for all of this, I'll offer up again Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which reads, whatever you do. So this is now, you know, we've got all of 2019 in front of us. Whatever you do, every word that you speak, every action you take in word and deed, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, if that were the test at the end of next year, by which we were going to judge the year, which will by then be behind us, God willing, you know, unless Jesus comes back, which I'm kind of a Maranatha come Lord Jesus girl. So, you know, if we're not doing this again next year, then we will be glorifying him in the fullness of his presence. And that'll be good. I'm going to count that as good. Okay. So Colossians 3:17, if this is going to be the test we're going to use next year, whatever we do in word and deed, did we do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So did it honor and glorify the name of Jesus? Did it help people know who he is? Did it help people experience and receive God's love and his grace? That's a good standard to judge the year behind as well. So I'm going to encourage us as we set out this plan to then commit at the end of each day to take stock of how we did, and at the end of each week, and at the end of each month, and at the end of each quarter. Remember, that's when we're going to write up our quarterly report to the Lord and give him an accounting for the return on his investment in us, so that at the end of next year, we might actually be able to account for a harvest of righteousness that is abundant. All right, friends, it's been a delight to walk with you in 2018 as we turn from this year of the Lord to the next. Let us give God the glory due his name. Let us commit ourselves to making the year to come indeed a year of the Lord. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You are listening to Connecting Faith. From all of us here at Faith Radio and at the Reconnect with Carmen, Happy New Year, have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Connecting Faith. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Connecting Faith. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a conversation.